Earlier this month, Donald Trump and Marco Rubio spoke at a Florida gathering titled Rediscovering God in America, organized by anti-gay, far-right dominionist Christian David Lane's American Renewal Project. The event was barely covered in the press, and when it was, the shorthand term evangelical Christians was substituted for the far more sinister nature of the organization. I'm joined now by Frederick Clarkson, senior fellow at Political Research Associates and a longtime observer of the theocratic right. Fred, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Well, thanks for having me, Welton.
Few things frustrate me as much as statements claiming the religious right is dead as a political force in this country. I don't know how many times I've read that eulogy. I know a lot of these people, and I've seen firsthand the seductive power political influence has over supposedly faith-based agendas. And the folks Trump and Rubio spoke to in Orlando are a fringe of that fringe, although a powerful one. So, Fred, who is David Lane, and what is the American Renewal Project?
Well, David Lane is a longtime Christian right political organizer. He believes that America was founded as a Christian nation and should be restored to that. And by that, he means a nostalgic vision of an America that never was, based on the Christian right's current theocratic views. And he's, for more than a decade, been organizing what he calls pastor policy briefings. And this event in Orlando was part of that series, in which he, all expense paid trips for clergy and spouses in order to present presidential and other elected officials to them, sort of a dog and pony show of potential Christian right political leaders, and also to hear from Christian right historical revisionists like David Barton, who tend to support the Christian nationalist vision. So it's been going on for quite some time, and it's a part of the basic infrastructure of a powerful political movement we call the Christian right, which, as you say, is not to be confused with evangelicals.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the widespread you see of the influence of this group.
Well, we see it as a necessary stop. I mean, people like Donald Trump and Marco Rubio can't wait to speak to these folks, because they understand their political power. But people who have also appeared are all the recent would-be Republican presidential candidates, from Bobby Jindal to Mike Pence. So it's a very important group of people, not just to get their blessing or endorsement, but because these are folks who go out and become the political movement that deliver politicians to power.
Why do you think that there are no consequences for leading politicians cozying up to this kind of group?
There are a lot of reasons. And one is that the media generally tiptoes around the powerful religious organizations, not wanting to come across as anti-religious or to be accused as anti-religious or anti-Christian in particular. Mm-hmm. It's hard to report on because there are potential consequences for reporters. And so it is generally true of mainstream society. Generally, we don't want to believe that it can happen here. We don't want to believe the worst about people. We don't want to believe the worst possibilities for our country. And yet we see a militant, theocratic political movement that's steeped in bigotry towards people of other faiths, towards LGBTQ people, and sometimes even towards our own government. Mm-hmm. And that this is allowed to happen in plain sight with minimum reaction from the rest of us.
Yeah. Tell our listeners the overt agenda of these kinds of people.
There's a broad swath of conservative Christianity that believes that that God has empowered them, God has commanded them to take dominion based on the book of Genesis, then that man shall have dominion over the earth. And they take that quite literally. And so using the Bible as a template and what they call looking through the lens of the Bible, saying, well, if this is the way that the world ought to be, creating a biblical worldview that would permeate all areas of life. including politics and government. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain interpretation of the Bible that says, okay, this is what God commands, and this is where we're going. It would be a much more theocratic society, and it would be governed according to Old Testament biblical law. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's calling themselves a theocrat, mm-hmm. and doesn't mean that come the election of Marco Rubio or Donald Trump that suddenly biblical law would be in the land. Mm-hmm. I think they see it as a long-term process that would happen unevenly. But nevertheless, we're talking about people who feel empowered in their lifetimes or in some future lifetimes that America and the world would be a distinctly Old Testament-style theocracy.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people who find that difficult to believe and question the relevance of extremists like David Lane and maybe even the relevance of this kind of conversation, talk about what we've seen, their very real impact has been on U.S. policy in past administrations.
Well, I mean, for one thing, we've certainly seen the funding of faith-based organizations, taking money away from government departments and putting them into religious organizations, mm-hmm. Who are not required to in any way dial back their religious agenda while using taxpayer funds. And more specifically, we've seen at the state level efforts to specifically impede and even to roll back LGBTQ rights, including marriage equality, to try mm-hmm. to undermine the intentions of the Supreme Court to bring about this basic equality in public life around marriage. So this is a dynamic movement. To win or lose on particular issues, they are sustained by a transcendent vision to make these things happen. If it's not one battle, it's going to be another battle. Mm-hmm. And the movement is growing rather than declining, at least as I see, and no better evidence than when the leading politicians in the country, you know, seek their support.
Mm-hmm. Fred, you've just published an exhaustive new article titled Dominionism Rising, a Theocratic Movement Hiding in Plain Sight. Give us some of the highlights of that article.
Well, some of the things are things that we've just discussed, how the leading politicians in the U.S. are embracing a dominionist vision. The guy who didn't quite make it this time, Ted Cruz, is certainly the star of this story.
Mm-hmm.
And he, more than almost anyone, has articulated a dominionist vision and surround himself with dominionists, and he's only 45 years old.
He's just off stage, too. He's waiting.
Well, that's right. he's just off stage. And so we also see some highlights about efforts to breed their way into power. And this is the idea that they're not just opposed to abortion and contraception. They believe in large families who can be trained up to be quivers in God, or arrows in God's quiver, to be an army for the future. We see a lot of this kind of natalism among contemporary Pentecostals as well as Catholics. We're seeing the gradual infiltration of dominionist ideas even into dominionist politicians, even into the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. But I think probably the most important thing for people to keep in mind is when we hear people like David Lane or Ted Cruz or Donald Trump talking about religious liberty, it's often a funhouse mirror version of religious liberty that's intended to mask a dominionist political agenda. Mm-hmm. Isn't remotely like anything that our listeners would think of as the right to believe or as we will, and to practice our faith and to live out our faith in relative peace with everyone mm-hmm. else.
You know, though, I don't know. I'm guessing on this one. I don't know Rubio that well, but I think I know Trump that well, that He showed up at this meeting, my guess is, because someone told him to go there. There were some potential votes. I don't think Trump has shown no evidence that he understands religion enough to know what is an opposition to authentic religion, such as dominionism.
That's probably true. There is evidence that he has had relationship with dominionist sorts going back a number of years now, and perhaps building what's now become his political campaign. But a lot of these folks understand, and because they're politically sophisticated, and they know that they're not always going to get leaders who agree with everything that they say. And they specifically speak, point to the ancient biblical King Cyrus, who was the king of Babylon and had held Jews prisoner for 70 years, and who ultimately freed the Jews and sent them home and helped to build the temple in Jerusalem. So they see someone who is not a person of faith as a person who can be appointed by God to carry out his will and his purposes on earth. And so many people in the Dominionist movement say that Donald Trump has a Cyrus anointing, and they're accepting the idea that a guy who's otherwise unacceptable from a Christian point of view could be carrying out God's purposes.
Oh, my goodness. One question. I don't think I've ever asked you this question. You are so good at this, and that means that you study this stuff all the time. You're looking into details. How do you do it, Fred? I mean, how do you do it without getting so cynical that you don't need to be around anybody?
Well, that's a very good question. There's an easy answer to that. I guess we're all constructed differently, and you know, why I have a particular capacity to digest this kind of material and look at it analytically without getting too upset is a mystery to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you do it, because someone needs to be doing it, and you do it so well. Frederick Clarkson is Senior Fellow at Political Research Associates. His important article, Dominion Rising, A Theocratic Movement Hiding in Plain Sight, is available on the Political Research Associates website, and we're linking to it from stateofbelief.com. Fred, as always, you're very helpful. You may not always be disturbed by what you're finding and sharing, but I'm going to tell you, you know how to disturb a lot of us, and that's a good thing. Thank you for taking the time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you, Elton. Thank you for the kind words.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone you know, please share it with that person. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes and in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. The community that's grown up around State of Belief Radio is active all week long. Be sure to follow us online, on Facebook, on Twitter, and engage in this discussion. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.